Let's welcome Marley Major to Talk Radio 1. Hello, Marley.
Hello, how are you?
Well, let's talk about what it's like to be a party planner in this time of economic doom and gloom. I imagine it's affecting your business like every other business.
Yeah, it is, and it's an interesting time. I think it's actually, in fact, I was talking to a fellow party planner yesterday, and she said, yeah, it's slow for a little bit right now, but you know, the second the economy turns around, we're all going to be so busy we don't know what to do with ourselves. And that's really true. It's right now is similar to just after 9/11, and here's why. Because if you have money, like let's say you haven't been affected by the economy, and I have a lot of clients who are lawyers, interestingly enough, and they have not been affected by the economy. I don't know if it's because they're handling everybody's bankruptcies or what, but they are still spending. But the difference is that, like my client yesterday said, I just don't want it to look like I'm spending a lot. And that is really interesting because I have not heard that since 9/11, which is that it just doesn't seem appropriate to be flashy and glitzy, but yet people are still entertaining.
I've been hearing stories about a lot of businesses are canceling their holiday parties or just not booking holiday parties. I know of a event place that is traditional. It's like a racing stable, but they do parties. And their business is off almost by $1 million. They've had to lay off people that normally during the holidays, there's not a Saturday or a Sunday or a Friday that they're not booked. Right now, they've got nothing on the schedule.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely true. And the other thing that I think is also happening, though, is the short lead time with things. I think there are a lot of people that are kind of like waiting to see. Well, you know, we don't want to spend the money. Let's see what happens if things start to pick up or things start turning around. Then they figure, well, the economy is bad enough. I'll be able to get a Saturday night. And you know, if not, oh well. But it's not that big a deal. Where you're right. By now, everybody would be just scrambling. So it definitely keeps you on your toes. I mean, you've got to, in any business right now, you've got to be returning your calls fast and. You know, be giving some value added, you know, some things that you maybe wouldn't normally throw into your proposal, you start throwing in, and you got to get creative.
Well, is that the first thing that you do when I talk to you about putting together a party, is you want to know what my budget is first?
Pretty much. What we ask the client, I mean, second to kind of what's the date, how many people, you know, what are you doing? We want, you know, like, is it a birthday party? Is it a corporate launch? What is it? Then, yeah, the next question is, what's your budget? Because if they say, hey, listen, I have a wedding for 100 people, and I want it on a Saturday night, and da-da-da, and they have some crazy budget, then we start going, well, would you consider a Saturday lunch? Would you consider doing it later in the evening? Would you consider a Sunday? You know, we start jockeying around depending on how firm their budget is. So, yeah, we have to, if we don't have to, or we don't necessarily have to know to the what their budget is, but we do need, you know, a range. You can't do much without that.
If my wife and I are having a party at our home for 10 people, do I need a party planner?
Good question. Depends on how calm and how experienced your wife is at doing it, because I would assume that she'd be the one stuck with it. No, you didn't hear me say that. You don't need a party planner if one person can devote some time to it. Meaning, if you and your wife are both working full-time or you have a couple kids, I don't know. I mean, you have to decide that. I think you need a party planner. But then again, you don't if it's 10 people and somebody's got a little bit of time to put something together. It's certainly a heck of a lot less expensive for a party of 10 if you don't have a party planner.
What is the smallest party you've ever arranged?
The smallest we've ever arranged probably would be a party for, I want to say maybe 4, but probably 6 would be the safest guess. Now, that was in the old days, though. These days, we have a $5,000 minimum. So it's kind of like the smallest party could be a party of 1, as long as, you know, that was a high-maintenance person.
Well, and what do you get for $5,000? What, if I write you a check for $5,000, what am I going to get?
Yeah. Well, you can get any combination of things, because we're a full-service company. So that $5,000 could go towards food. It could go towards food, labor, decor. It could be all staff. It could be anything. So what we would do is we would come back to, you know, what's the date? How many people are you thinking of having? What are you trying to accomplish? And then my job would be to give you the biggest bang for the buck, you know, to say, you know, I wouldn't spend that much on invitations or, you know, if entertainment is really important, like I have to find out from clients what is really important to them, because some clients are like, I need the best band ever. And some clients are like, oh, I don't care. We can use iTunes. You know, or some clients will say, no, food is so important. You know, we met in the wine country. We want great food and great wine. Well, then obviously we have to allocate our resources that way. So in a tough economy, you want to make sure you really are answering those questions, because people, you know, you have to pare things down. So $5,000 just depends on the size of the event and what you want to accomplish.
Smallest party was 6. What was the largest party you ever planned?
Well, we did the opening of the Hollywood Bowl. So how, I don't know how many people, it's thousands. And we did a big party at NBC. God, for that was sit down for 550 or something. Yeah, we've done company things for a couple thousand. It totally depends. That's the thing. We'll do really tiny boutique things, and then sometimes you have just really grand scale stuff. It's interesting though, because we joke in our office that, you know, planning a party for 20, you might as well be planning a party for 400, because you still need rentals, you still need staff, you just need more of everything.
When you did a party for, you mentioned the Hollywood Bowl or NBC, yeah. do they hammer you as much on price and per person? And
oh God, yeah.
They do.
Because there are a couple myths out there. There is a myth that celebrity events and things, that celebrities and people with money spend the most. Not the case at all. Then there's a myth that, like, you know, a big splashy event, like let's say the opening of the Hollywood Bowl or something, they'd be spending a ton. They're in fact not, because you have to remember that that's the opening of the Hollywood Bowl is a benefit. So that's a nonprofit, or, you know, the LA Philharmonic, it's a nonprofit. They're trying to raise money. So it's even more important that you give them a really big bang for the buck. And the other thing that I found is the only people these days who really are spending a lot kind of with reckless abandon are trust fund kids, or, you know, trust fund people, or people that, you know, maybe not even so much actors, because they can get so much stuff for free, but, like, I found sports figures and people like that will kind of throw money around. But the ones who are self-made and have a lot of money, I mean, we have a couple clients who are billionaires, and I'll tell you, they look at every line item. I mean, as they should. They, you know, they made every dollar themselves, so I'd be looking at it too.
Well, why do you need a party planner? What can you do for me that I can't do myself?
Well, a lot of things. It depends on, again, it depends. If you are busy and you just, some people just cannot deal with it. And so they say, listen, I don't have time. I don't have time to get on the internet and find the venue. I mean, just finding the venue alone can be a minefield, just because it takes a lot to get the venues to call you back. There can be a lot involved. Like, do you want to seat 200 people in, you know, a room all together? Do you care if the rooms are chopped up? You know, certain venues have noise ordinances. I mean, they have permit requirements, restrictions. Some venues you have to use you have to use their caterer. Other venues you can bring in a caterer. So, I mean, it is the list of issues. Just with the job we did about a week and a half ago, just with the power alone was a minefield. It was relatively new construction, but just trying to figure out the entertainment components that we were bringing in, and then some of the entertainment components that the homeowner was bringing in, just making sure that the house could handle the power without blowing the fuses is what, you know, you just want one person in charge, so they've got the bird's eye view of everything. And that's the tricky part. That's where a party planner comes in handy, is because we have a big picture idea of what's going on and what we're trying to accomplish. And then we also watch out for the client. Like, if I get a rental order back from the rental company and they've got all kinds of crazy surcharges and stuff, I'll say, you know, go pound sand. We don't need that standby guy or whatever. Whereas the average person looking at it, they think, oh, well, the rental company says I need this. I must need it. Well, not necessarily. So it's my job to kind of cut things that you don't need to have. And that, well, let me give you another example too. Often hotels or banquet venues will say, oh, you need you're going to have a sit down dinner. You want 9 bites per person for hors d'oeuvres. And as an event planner, I know that's ridiculous. You're never going to eat that many. You know, with the 45-minute to an hour cocktail hour. So it'd be my job to say, no, let's pare this down, you know, and then you get hors d'oeuvres for half the price.
Marlee Major is the Party Goddess. Her website is thepartygoddess.com. Hollidaypartyhotline.com. You know, even some of the best caterers, for example, Wolfgang Puck had an employee with hepatitis A.
Oh, I know.
And I'm sure that's something that's that you have to worry about is, you know, not only do you have to make sure that the event goes smoothly, but all the people that you hire for the event show up on time and that they're not sick and that they're not that they're well groomed or they're not offensive to the guests. And how do you do that? Or is that something that's just out of your hands?
Well, no, it's not out of your hands, but then certain things are. I mean, when I heard that whole Wolfgang Puck thing, I mean, people say, oh, you know, these different caterers and stuff for your competition. He's kind of in a league unto himself. But you're not happy. I mean, you broke my heart to hear that because he, like anybody else, I mean, you know, you work your tail off in this business, and you do it because you love it and you want to see people happy, and that's why we all get into it, you know, is so at the end of the night the bride walks down the aisle and, you know, has this great reception and is like, oh, thank you, this was such a magical night. But that's why party planners get paid what we do. There're just so many things that go into it that people don't realize. Like, we hire and work with people that we've hired and worked with all the time, you know. So if we've got bartenders or servers or a DJ or something, you're getting our recommendation that this person is good and that they are going to show up, you know, or that the DJ is not going to have the pants sliding down his backside and, you know, the tattoos and the piercings and all that stuff. And same thing, you know, if we're not going to go into a conservative home in San Marino and somebody's covered in tattoos and piercings, you know, with the purple hair, which happened to me, you know, one time when I got a stand by a server. So that's the kind of thing that we have enough experience to just say, oh, no. You know, we have backup plans. But the other thing too is, you know, if you hire a reputable person, they also have insurance, and that's a big thing. I mean, if you entertain in your home, you want to work with a company who carries liability insurance and workers' comp insurance. Otherwise, if something happens, you know, it's on that homeowner.
Mm.
So, those are just a lot of the things that go into the price of having a party that people sometimes don't think about.
What's on your website? Because it's really not just about party planning. It's all the accessories, the accoutrements for planning a party.
Yeah, we have all kinds of things on the website. We have a blog in addition to, how I look at the website is I want people to, potential clients to be able to go there and to take a look at it and say, is this event planner a match for me? You know, do I like her style? Do I like what she's got going on? But then also on the website, we have a blog, which is all kinds of, it's my commentary on, you know, life a lot of times, but it's also, you know, how much ice per person, how do you know how much wine to serve? It's kind of tips and tricks on there as well. I'll feature recipes for drinks. I'll feature links and websites to other, you know, companies that might help you plan an event. I'll feature products on there, too, that I'll say, hey, listen, look at this cool chair, or what about this photo booth, that kind of thing, just to give people ideas. Or, you know, like we found these ice spheres that are kind of like the size of golf balls that are really cool. So, I blogged about that, and I posted that. And, you know, we've got an online store that's got, you know, fun neon martini glasses and things like that. So that website is kind of my little pet project that I'm always updating.
Everything's negotiable, though, right? With a party planner, the
yeah,
price, 100%. The what you, everything, but there are certain things that probably are not negotiable. Let's talk about the things that there really is no room to negotiate on.
Well, I would say almost okay. There are a few things. First of all, almost everything is negotiable to a certain point. There is just a point at which the party planner should walk away. Now, we do, the reason I'm confident with our pricing, and I know how much I can negotiate on any given job, is because we run a profit and loss statement on every single event. So I've been in the food business for 16 years. So I now, for every single party, whether it's a party of 10 or a party of 500, I know exactly how much money, within about $100, we made on that event. So based on all those years and years and thousands of parties, I know how much it costs, you know, to plan a party. I know how much a DJ costs and our, you know, staff time and all those things. So that's why I say it's negotiable to a certain point. If somebody just says, hey, listen, I want the Rolls Royce at the, you know, price of a Camaro, well, I can't do that. I might be able to give them the Rolls Royce at the price of, you know, a used Mercedes, though. It depends, but the person has to be flexible. But the other ways to negotiate are, again, just having a little bit of flexibility with things. Like if you have to have a particular Saturday in December, or you want to have a New Year's Eve party, well, your staff is going to be at time and a half or double time. That's just how it is. You're not going to be able to negotiate rates down to regular rates for New Year's Eve, even in this economy, because what will happen is the staff just won't want to work. They say, listen, I'll go skiing, I don't care. So but everybody's got to be reasonable. I mean, I don't think that you want to negotiate it to the point that you're just creaming the vendor, because you're not going to get good service.
You have one chance to get, I was thinking about this as a party planner, because it's an event, it's a one-time thing, and if it doesn't go well, there are no do-overs. You get one chance. And so how hands-on are you at the event, and what do you do when things go wrong? How do you fix it?
Well, first of all, I'm very hands-on. I mean, thank God I am the most compulsive person you've ever met in your entire life. And I will spend, I'll laugh because clients will email me a couple days before about the weather or something and be like, have you seen the weather? I'm thinking, oh, my God, I have been on the 10-day forecast, at like day 11, seeing where we are. I'm the one that's saying to clients, hey, listen, the weather I'm sure is going to be beautiful, but let's have a tent on your order. Because if it looks like rain, a week and a half out, the rest of the world is going to start going for a tent. We've already got one, So I plan for things like, okay, it's going to be summer and it's going to be hot. Normally we have 2 pounds of ice per person. Now we're going to have 3. Or, like we just did a job the weekend before last that was in a spot with bad cell coverage, So we knew if vendors got lost or that kind of thing, it was going to be tricky. So what you do is you have the vendors, you have the call time, half an hour early so that in case they get lost or have issues parking. But that all just goes with experience. I mean, it goes with why an event planner or a good event planner does a site check before the event with the clients, why you do diagrams. It's why you have the client sign off on diagrams. It's why you have them sign off on the proposal, not so much so that they're legally bound. I mean, that's important too, but you want them to sign off saying, yes, I'm getting peonies in my, bridal bouquet, and yes, I'm getting roses, but so that, everybody's on the same page. And when things go wrong, fortunately, again, I've had enough experience and I'm pretty cool under pressure and have a good team that I can be like, okay, listen, you handle this, you handle this. I mean, I've had situations where the cake catches on fire. I mean, like, you name it, I've had. And you just get good at dealing with it, and you just kind of face it head on.
Let's talk about the best event you ever planned. What's your crowning achievement? What's the gold standard for you?
I've got to tell you, it was a New Year's Eve job that we did this past year, and it was just absolutely, it was breathtaking, if I may say so myself. And it was a wedding, and it was on New Year's Eve, and they got married and then came back to the house to her parents' house for the reception. And it was all customized tents kind of put together in kind of a funky shaped backyard. And they had a pool, a brand new pool that was sort of like big rocks, like a grotto almost. And we put an acrylic, a plexiglass top over the pool, and it was all lit from underneath. And the whole thing was winter wonderland and giant, like 5 foot in diameter chandeliers with ice, spheres coming down and snowflakes, and in all the corners we made these like ice trees and hundreds of birch trees wrapped in white lights, and the whole thing was kind of like icy blue color. And then at midnight everything changed, and we had disco balls and they all started to spin, and we had streamers, and the whole color scheme changed to like yellow, orange, and red, and really hot colors and fun music. And It was just all white carpet. I mean, it was truly amazing.
Well, I know you do a lot of events for celebrities. Was this a celebrity wedding?
It was not. It was It was just one of the girls from the neighborhood kind of thing that I had known for a long time growing up. I knew her family, and I just really got lucky. They just had a vision of what they wanted Winter Wonderland, but they let me just play with it so much. And We all just had a really great time, but that was one of those days when you're like, oh, I'm in the right business.
How many people?
Ooh, 220, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was all sit down and two different types of centerpieces with, you know, all flocked, and it was amazing.
All right, that's the best story. What's the worst?
God, let me see. What's the worst? You know, there are combinations of worst.
Well, there has to be one where everything went wrong.
I do have one where everything went wrong. I hate to admit this, but I had a very challenging client, and they kept trying to undercut the price and all this stuff. Okay, so finally we settle on a price, and it was one of those Saturdays in December, so you're really busy and you've got a lot going on anyway, and the client's being a jerk. And they wanted to negotiate. So finally we negotiate, and it was going to be a party for about 150 people. So mind you, I'm on my last negotiating thread with them. I'm just done because they just keep working me. And it's a very challenging venue, meaning it's in the Hollywood Hills. Everything did go wrong. Okay, it was in the Hollywood Hills, right off Sunset, so there's no parking. They said, okay, the staff can park up the street. We had done walkthroughs and everything. The staff can park up the street. So the staff, when the staff gets there, they say, no, the staff can't park up the street. We're going to have to shuttle them in. They should park about a couple miles away at the mall. So they park at the mall. Then we've got to get shuttles to bring them all up. Well, I don't need to tell you what that did to my call time. So I've got staff being shuttled up this, like, mountain, you know, this house falling off the mountain. The day before the event, literally the day before, this yo-yo client tells me that instead of 125 or whatever it's going to be 375 people. And he wanted to say, by the way, he'll give me another $5,000 for it. And I don't even know. I was like, do you want me to go to Vaughn's? Like, where should I... I mean, I don't even know where to start with something like that. And he said, well, our count, you know, this one was taking RSVPs and didn't add them up. I mean, he was obviously trying to play games from the get-go, knowing that I wasn't just going to not show up. But then, you know, then the staff gets there and they have to be shuttled in. It was just so many games over and over, and it ended up being one of the coldest, windiest nights in L.A., and our kitchen literally started blowing down. Like, now I know why I couldn't remember this job. Oh. The kitchen started blowing down. I mean, we had, you know, when you do an off-site kitchen at a private home, you kind of, you know, you mask it off with pipe and base and drape and stuff. And it was up there in the hills, and it literally just started to, like, you know, we'd be behind the grills cooking, and then our whole thing would just blow down. And then you, you know, put it back up, all 375 people. It was just a mess. The whole thing was a freaking mess. I mean, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about something happier.
Do you ever hire people as minglers? Do you ever hire people to go to a party and just be, like, invited guests? Does that happen?
It's funny you mention that. We had a situation like that a couple weeks ago. It does happen sometimes, yeah. It'll happen for a few different reasons. One, if somebody wants an event to look full and they know, you know, the space is really big and it's not going to look full enough, then yes, they will hire minglers. Another reason that it'll happen, it doesn't happen very often, but another reason that it'll happen is if people want to really, like, fill the party with, like, model types and really good-looking people, that's what'll happen, too, because they kind of hire them as, you know, plants, and it makes the party, you know, look sexier and fun and, you know, kind of create that buzz. And then sometimes even if it's a corporate thing or a private party, they'll have you bring in girls, not like prostitutes, mind you, but just so that it's more balanced, so that it's not just, hi, there are 100 guys and, you know, nobody to talk to.
Mm-hmm. Would you hire escorts for an event if I wanted them?
God, is my mother listening? Would I hire escorts? No, I would hire, you know, like, girls, meaning to literally be dates. But no, I would not hire somebody that I knew, you know, was, like, for sexual reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Help.
I can imagine, you know, some Arab sheikh coming to town wanting to throw a party for, you know, his buddies, yeah, who he thinks are going to help him get into the movie business.
Yeah, and I would probably say, you know, Mr. Sheikh, I can do every aspect of your event, and it's going to be great, and, you know, that's the one piece that I'm just don't want any part of.
Yeah, who calls?
I mean, maybe
you?
I would, yeah, give them a referral of who to call, but
right,
I think it would probably end there. That's
right,
all I need.
Who calls you? Is it the men or the women that want to plan events?
95% of the time it's the women. Probably 98%. Once in a while, if it's like the surprise party, quote, for the woman, or like the woman's birthday party, what might happen is she might call and then say, listen, you're going to start talking to my husband, and then I'll end up back talking to her because, of course, she knows exactly how she wants it. Or sometimes it'll just be the guy who goes, hey, listen, I don't know what to do. It's going to be, you know, and I'll say, you know, can we get your wife involved? Like that kind of thing. But yeah, it's mostly women. Especially, I mean, they're calling a company called the Party Goddess, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys are not saddling up to call the Party Goddess.
Mm. And who's easier to deal with, men or women?
Oh, good question. It depends on what I'm trying to accomplish. I would say men are usually easier to deal with because they're more direct. They don't want to waste a lot of time. Everything is pretty much to the point. The only time that I don't like dealing with men is sometimes when I'm trying to sell them a vision and they don't get it. Like the woman, I can really hit on an emotional level. I can be like, oh my gosh, and then this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and then the color scheme is going to change. And, you know, by that time the guy's going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And by this time she's like, yes, I can see it. Oh, great. And, you know, she'll sign the check for an emotional reason, whereas the guy can check out and be like, here's your budget, you know, handle it. That's it.
And
come back tomorrow.
Are weddings the best events to plan?
No. God, no. I mean, I love to plan weddings. It has to be, but weddings, to me, there's a lot more possibility that they'll go south than a regular event, and here's why. If you have the right bride and the right groom, meaning you like them and they're rational, normal people with a reasonable budget, weddings are the best because they're such feel-good events. But the problem with weddings is that you a lot of times create a perfect storm. You have financial issues and a lot of decision makers, meaning these days couples might be paying for some of their wedding themselves. Then again, their parents might be paying for all or part of it. So you have two decision makers, both of whom are spending money. Depending on who's spending more money, wants to trump the other one, you know. And then if you get into financial stuff, if the couple is paying for it themselves, you get into their whole financial, you know, junk because he wants to save for a house and she wants the day of her dreams. And then you get into the whole family, emotions, all that, you know, like somebody's parents are divorced. This one can't sit at the same table. They need to be across the room. So it starts affecting the seating chart and then, you know, the rehearsal and the rehearsal dinner, because we're all, you know, we're involved in all of that. So it can get really sticky. But as I say, if you're dealing with mature people, it can be the best event ever.
Well, what do you think of Evites? You know, where we're no longer.
I hate Evites. Oh, I mean, sometimes they are necessary, but I really just. I don't know. I get so many emails myself, and I just really love to go to the mail and just get like a little treat, you know? I don't care what it is, just like.
No, but a really nice wedding invitation is about $6, right? Per wedding invitation. That adds up.
At least, but are you going to go? You're going to invite people to your wedding? I mean, come on. There's so many ways that you can scale back. And I think, put it this way, if it's December and it's, you know, prime time in December, like Saturday, the second Saturday of December, which is always prime time, you know, and you get a bunch of invitations and you get all these Evites and then you get one, you know, really interesting, I'm not going to say expensive, I just said interesting invitation in the mail that looks like it's a fun party with great wording, what are you going to go to? You're going to go to the party that like actually thought to do an invitation. I don't know. I'm just... Sometimes I think we have way too much electronic communication.
Marley Major is the Party Goddess. Her website, thepartygoddess.com. How do you find a wedding, a good event or party planner? How should someone go about finding
one?
Okay,
it's pretty easy, I think. I think you do just like you do when you're looking for a plumber or anything else. You start asking your friends. And number one, you start with, let's say if you were recently at a friend or family member or some kind of event and they had an event planner or a caterer or florist or something, you start with that and go, hey, listen, I'd love to, you used, you know, would you recommend them? So that's always the best way. And then get multiple referrals potentially and then call those event planners and or caterers or florists, fill in the blank, and talk to them and ask to see their website, ask to see, you know, events they've done, ask to talk to references that they've got, and then go from there. I mean, I always think, you know, of course it's the best case scenario that you can talk to three people. I think that's, you know, worst case, you need to talk to two. But I think it's important to talk to them on the phone. How quickly do they return your calls? Do you like their answers? Do you like their style? I mean, that's a big thing. If you go to somebody's website and it looks cruddy, I don't know. I mean, I probably wouldn't hire them, but I would be, you know, really enthused if I saw fabulous photos that inspired me. But yeah, start looking through friends. The other thing too is, you know, I should say is magazines, because if you have a decent enough budget, you can look in even like, you know, Angelino magazine or things like that. They'll often say who did the event. You can start by just checking them out on the web and then calling.
Are you good at a party when you're just a guest, or are you always evaluating how everything else is going?
No, I evaluate everything, and I have complete ADD. So I'm just at a party going like, okay, you know, because I spend my whole life like on the phone and talking about parties, and it really is my whole life, and I love it. Don't get me wrong. But for me to go to a party, yes, I'm evaluating, like, why don't those tablecloths touch the floor? You know, how hard would it be to get them to not see the legs? You know, God, that server's apron is sloppy or whatever, that kind of thing. And the other thing is, it's very hard for me to sit still. So I'm not, everybody thinks I'd be a good party guest, and I'm so not. I'm just impatient, you know? And then, yeah, I just get impatient, and then I find flaws.
Well, what else should, so you're saying interview several people and just find someone who you have a connection with?
Yeah, find somebody that you have a connection with, and then find somebody, though, but then check them out. I mean, don't just go, I love them, and then, you know, give them a check for $50,000. I mean, get a referral from friends, talk to them, see if you connect, like, see if you like what they've done in the past, see if they've worked on similar projects to yours, because, you know, hiring a company to do a product launch versus hiring somebody to do your daughter's Sweet 16 can be two very different things. And then talk to them and then ask them for references, because anybody who's worth their weight in salt will be thrilled to give you references. I mean, as soon as somebody asks me for references, I am ecstatic, because I'm like, oh my God, how many do you want? Like, I have pages full that I would, because every person that I'm going to give them, I know they're going to talk to them and be like, it was so great, it was fun, it was magical. You know, that kind of thing. So I'm enthused to give them references. If somebody delays on that, that is a red flag. So I would, you know, I'd pay attention to red flags.
If I'm doing a wedding in South Carolina, I shouldn't call you. You don't know people.
Of course you should.
I should.
No, of course
okay.
You should. Absolutely. Because we actually do travel for events quite a bit. And how it works is the client will call us. A lot of times it'll be a client, one of our regular clients, let's say in L.A., and they will be doing an event out of town. And they already know that we know their style, and, you know, they're comfortable with us and know we're not going to run off with their money. And so they'll say, listen, I want to do an event in Colorado, let's say. And so we say, okay, what are your parameters? And they'll say, we need, you know, a golf course, a spa, and it needs to be 5-star. Or we're doing a wedding and we want, you know, 5-star hotels in North Carolina or South Carolina. And so what we'll do is because we've got contacts all over the country, so... And I speak at my, you know, industry convention at least once a year. So what I'll do is I'll call my contacts and I'll be like, hey, listen, what's a great venue, you know, in North Carolina? Oh, great. Okay, who should I use for? And then I fly out. I set up all my appointments. Like, I've pre-qualified everybody. And then I'll meet pretty much three of everything. Like, I'll see at least three venues. I'll meet with a bunch of florists. And then what we'll do is we'll produce the event from L.A. and then fly in ahead of time and, you know, be like the man on the street and handle it, and using local people, so you're not, you know, flying floral vases in from California.
So anywhere in the world? I mean, Hong Kong?
Anywhere in the world, if you've got the budget. You've got the girl, yeah.
Marley Major is the party goddess. Her website, thepartygoddess.com, party planner to the stars. Marley, thanks for being on Talk Radio, and nice talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.